Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hey, my name's Abby Murphy, and you're listening to That's Life podcast, where we go through the transitions of life and talk about how to do it through a Christian lens. I'm so happy that you're here. If you want to go ahead and skip past the life update portion of the podcast, you can go ahead and skip to 11 minutes and 40 seconds, roughly. And if you want to go ahead and get into the main message, then go to about 12 minutes and 30 seconds. But if not, the intro music's about to play. I'm so happy that you're here, and keep on listening. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the pod. My name's Abby Murphy, and I am in a good mood. I just had a matcha latte. Well, it wasn't a matcha latte, but it has like matcha in it. And I finally weaned myself off of having caffeine every day from all the camps that I've been doing. But okay, now you're probably thinking, Abby, matcha has caffeine in it. Yes, however, not that much, I don't think. I think it's like the equivalent to like a decaf cup of coffee, which is, I drink decaf. So this is basically the same thing. I'm feeling on fire right now. Well, actually I'm really cold. Like the hairs on my arms, I don't know if you can see if you're watching on YouTube, but my goosies are like popping and the hairs on my arms are levitating. Dab. Anyways. Okay. Welcome. If you're new, I am so happy that you stumbled across this podcast. You are meant to be here. You're supposed to be here. Please do not turn off. This was not a coincidence that you're here, and I'm so excited to have you join the hashtag For Lifers, For Lifer Squad, For Lifer Fam, Five Ever. Lots of numbers. I'm not good with numbers, but I like to talk, and that's why I'm your host of the That's Life pod, where we talk about the transitions of life and how to go through it with a Christian background, Christian lens, and God is our foundation in everything that we do. I'm so happy that you're here, and today we're going to be talking about the creation story. So if you guys don't know, I've been kind of on like a self-guided Bible plan of rereading all of the stories that we were told as children. If you grew up in the Christian church, they teach in Sunday school all these really popular Bible stories with like colorful pictures and ways to remember it and songs, but I'm going back and rereading all of these to kind of like re-spark or find things within the story that speak to me in a different way now that I technically am an adult, but like not like actually an adult. I'm 19, so like I basically am an adult, but not like adult, but same difference. I'm older, wiser. Mentally, I'm like 45. So anyways, we're going to be talking about the creation story today. I did this with my mom, this little Bible study yesterday, and we read the first three chapters, and it goes through like everything that God created in all the 7 days, all the way, starting there all the way to Adam and Eve, spoiler alert, disobeying God and becoming sinful people, because we are destined to be human. That's just how we are. But yeah, I'm going to talk all about that today. But first, we're going to go into a little life update. So life update number one, sorry, headphone users, Peter's coming to town. I'm going to pick him up in 2 hours. It's 11:30 right now. Ow, my eye is like itching. Okay, anyways, I'm going to pick him up right now, in 2 hours, and his flight lands at 3, and then we'll come back, we'll go to Color War, hence why I'm wearing the white shirt. Jesus hands, praise the Lord. If you can't see on the pod, I forget that like the listeners can't see me now that a camera's staring at my face. So I forget, but I'm wearing a white shirt with prayer hands on it. Shout out Crossland Community Church. We got this at high school camp. High school camp was amazing. That's my next life update. But yeah, I'm going to pick up Peter, and then we're going to go to the Color War tonight and then do whatever. And then I'll be with him for the next couple of weeks. And next week's episode is going to be with Lil Pete, and we're going to talk all about relationships. So if you want to get your questions in, I put a couple polls out here and there, but I really haven't got like too many responses. So if you want to put more questions in there, please do so. I'll put another like little poll where you can ask questions, and they're anonymous. The only person that sees the questions are me, and I write them down in a book. I don't tell anyone, and then I just delete everything that I saw, but I have the questions written down. So I don't share any information or anything. But these questions, like, I really like to get feedback because I want people to listen to what they want to hear. And so this next episode is going to be a boy's perspective on questions that girls have always wanted to ask guys, and vice versa for me as well. So with that being said, go head over to @thethatslifepod on Instagram. You can see all the things on my stories, all the things on the Instagram. Lots of Bible studies are posted on there. Lots of interaction. Everything happens there. And I've kind of been going on a new little theme with the podcast. And it's kind of a vibe. So anyways, kids camp. Or not kids camp. High school camp. So I went to high school camp last week with Crossland. And it was amazing. And two of my girls in my cabin got saved. Hallelujah. And I'm so excited. So hi, girls. If you're listening, I love you. It was awesome just to see leadership and curiosity and this like childlike faith that I so easily forget, because I tend to overthink everything and overanalyze everything. And to a certain extent, I probably did that with the creation story as well. But I just like to like really just dig deep in and find like everything I can, like really wring the towel out with water, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really just like to just go all in. Sometimes I forget, like at the end of the day, it really is like one of my girls said when she got saved, she was like, I just reached out to him and asked him. And I was like, it's really that simple, like that childlike faith of like, just reach out to him, just talk to him. Like, that is how you build this relationship with the Lord. And what I've been finding over the past couple of weeks, I've been really, really trying to be the best Christian I can, but I've been trying to do that from my own actions. And it clicked at kids camp that like, or at high school camp, that it's not about me doing the things in order to be the best Christian I can. Like, yeah, maybe my heart is in the right place, but like, really, it's not. Because at the end of the day, Jesus is alongside of us. And we don't need to say, oh, what can I do to allow you to love me, Father? It's, you already love me, Father, so help me fix my eyes on you and everything that I do so that you can guide me to do what I need to do, rather than help me choose things to do to get closer to you. It's, I've accepted you. We are close. Now let's go through this together. So that was kind of like something that being with those girls showed me. It was just beautiful. And high school camp was awesome. And This is the first summer where I've been the leader of the high schoolers, because I was the high schooler, so I was like leading middle schoolers or kids. And it's so crazy to like see a bunch of these seniors about to go to college and be like, wow, that was me last year. It's just weird. It's weird. And it's beautiful, but it's also like there's some stuff you just can't explain. Like you can get all the advice that you need, but you're not going to get all the advice that like applies to you. Like there's some stuff you just have to go through, and that's just how it is. Like you're just going to have to go through it. The only person who really knows is God. And that's where I'm going to leave that. Another life update. I go to the beach on Sunday. I'm so excited to go to the beach. That's pretty much it. I'm just going to the beach. Like, that's whatever. That's pretty much it with this life update, I think. I don't know. Oh, I do know. So, for the people that aren't watching on YouTube right now, this is my sweet little mug with a straw in it. Allow me to take a sip. ASMR for you today. Maybe I should start an ASMR Jesus channel. Anyways, this is not just your ordinary water, friends. This is water mixed with Miralax. For those of you that don't know, Miralax is a laxative. If you don't know what a laxative is, ask your parents. For those of you that are familiar with the laxative lifestyle, that's where I'm at right now. I'm a little scared because my doctor told me to go on it for like 2 to 3 weeks, but I'm kind of like scared to be on it for that long because Peter looked it up and apparently you're not supposed to go on it for more than a week. But doctor's orders, and they know more than the internet does. So, yeah. But I will say, TMI, if you don't want to listen to this right now, but it makes my farts smell so bad. So bad. Like, horrid. Like, horrid is the only word that I can use to describe. Like, it's actually almost unbearable. Like, it's horrible. I don't even, like, there's not a word to describe truly the stench of the experience of the air post Miralax let go of thy gas action. Had that happen. Anyways, on that note, let's talk about Jesus. So how we do things here, if you're new, is we start in with a life update, then go to a prayer, and then the main message. So now it's time for that prayer portion. If you would like to go ahead, close your eyes, bow your head, put your hands together, raise your hands up, keep your eyes open, do whatever you want. If you're running, walking, driving, I encourage you not to close your eyes. Anyways, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I invite you into this space. I invite you to guide me in what you want me to say and help me remember that I'm not speaking for personal gain, but I'm speaking for the gain of the kingdom. I pray that my words are yours and that I'm just simply the vessel to share the message of what you want people to hear listening. I thank you for the listener that is listening through headphones or through a speaker or whatever they're doing, wherever they're coming from, mentally, physically, emotionally. I pray for their well-being and I pray for their mind to be cleared to hear this message today, how you want to speak to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I have a whole page of notes here. It's kind of like one of my cuter pages of notes. I have to give myself a little bit of props because this is kind of a cute page of notes. I'll probably end up posting it, honestly, just so that people can see it. Once again, shameless plug at the That's Life Pod. But I'm just going to walk through the first 3 chapters of Genesis. So if you want to go ahead and turn into your Bible, literally it's the very first page and the words start with "in the beginning." And that is the first chapter. The book is called Genesis. So the Bible, for those of you that don't know, the Bible is broken up into an Old Testament and a New Testament. Old Testament being the first half of the Bible, a little over half of the Bible, of before Jesus, B.C., and then the New Testament is when Jesus was there, on the there. So, yeah, that's the only word I would really use to describe it. And then within the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are books, Genesis, Exodus, on, so on and so forth of the New Testament, and then Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts of the Old Testament, or of the New Testament, sorry. Then within each book, there are chapters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, however many, and within each chapter, there is the verse. So if I say go to Genesis, that's the book. Chapter 1, that's the big number. Verse 1, that's the little number above each of the sentences. So literally Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 starts with in the beginning. So this is like the beginning of time. Like Jesus created the world. And so I have on, it's just easier to scroll through. Don't think I'm on my phone right now if you're watching. It's just easier to scroll through on my Bible app while I'm like sharing things quickly. But I'm just going to walk through this with you guys together. So automatically first I had in verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And I thought this was beautiful because in verse 2, it said that the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. Like, when we think about this, like, the earth, whether it's beautiful or whether it's ugly, serves the same purpose for people. Like, God didn't have to make the earth pretty. Like, the earth is going to do the same job that it needs to do no matter what. And yet God loves us so much. He's such a good God that like he chose to make it beautiful. And so like on day one, he created the light and the dark. Day two, he separated the water from the sky. Day three, the land and the produce. Day four, the stars, moon, and the sun. Day five, sea and animals. Day six, land animals. Or day five, sea animals. Day six, land animals and humans. And then on the seventh day, he rested. And after each of these things, he said, it was good. Like, it is good. This is created. It is good. One thing that stood out to me on day four, the moon and the sun, God placed in the sky to govern the light and to govern the dark. And I think that this is something, which this is all interpretation, but I feel like in today's world, even like, I hate getting into politics, but it's also like something that's of importance in our world, and that I think sometimes like is very misinterpreted in the Bible. But at the end of the day, like, the light isn't gonna be the light without the sun, and the dark isn't gonna be the dark without the moon. Like, the night isn't going to be night without the moon. And I think so often, like, we go through a sunny day and we're like, oh, it's so hot, and oh my gosh, it's so bright, oh my gosh, like, you know, whatever, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, we wouldn't have daytime without the sun. And I think we can apply this to politics, and it sounds crazy, but it's like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, we can sit here and complain about this, that, and the other, and how, oh, we wish that the weather would be better, or we wish that it wouldn't be as sunny, or we wish that this law or this thing or this whatever. At the end of the day, like, we wouldn't be a society, and we would be literally insane if we didn't have the, like, a government official leading us. And so, like, whatever your views are on, oh, I like summer better, oh, I like winter better, or, oh, I like this person better, I like this person better, like, at the end of the day, like, we need that government. So don't base your opinion on being led by someone. Don't let that cloud your appreciation for the leadership that God has given us. And I think that that just kind of stood out. That isn't really like the main message of today, but I just, it was just, it just kind of like popped into my mind, and I thought, well, maybe I should share it in some way because maybe it could be beneficial for someone. Anyways, so verse 26, it says, let me read it. I'm scrolling. So verse 26 says, Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." The main part of what I focused on in this verse is the beginning where it says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." So from the very beginning, He's speaking as the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if you don't know what the Holy Trinity is, it's three in one. This idea of three in one basically is the Holy Spirit living inside of you, God, the Lord of the universe, and Jesus, the man who walked on the earth as God in human form. And I just think it's crazy that like we can just read over that verse and just brush over it. But like the real fact is like God had that plan from the very beginning of time. Like from the very beginning of when he created the earth, he was speaking to like the three in one. Like he knew Jesus, like Jesus wasn't an idea later. Like God had this whole plan. And going through our lives, we can lose sight of like, God's got it figured out. Even from the beginning of time, like God knows. And it's beautiful. Anyways, and then after each day, God said, or like after each day, God created something, and then it said, evening passed and morning came. This is showing that like everything would rest every day. Like even the sun rests. You know what I mean? Like, because then the moon comes out. Like us as humans are not meant to be robots. Us as humans are not meant to go, 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 go. On the seventh day, Jesus or God rested. Like even God rested. So if God can rest, then why do I think I'm good enough to just go, 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 go? Like, why do I think I'm better than him? That I can just pack my day full and just skip out on this rest? Like, who am I to think I'm better than God? Like, we've got to lay down our pride and realize that like all this hustle culture in the world and all of this, like you're not doing good enough unless you're stressed out to the max or unless your schedule is blah, blah, blah. Like, no, honey, sorry, but even the creator of the universe rested. So why do you think you're better than that? And that's a message to myself, just to be like, okay, you are not meant to do this all on your own. And it's important to point out that each command that God said, he started with let, the word let, like let there be light. And so I looked up the definition of the word let, and it's to not prevent or forbid, to allow. And I think this is beautiful because God wants for us. So moving on, this kind of ties into chapter 2. God created Adam, and from Adam he made Eve, and he basically told them, like, you can eat from any fruit, any tree, any plant in this garden except for this one tree. And spoiler alert, they ate from the tree. But it's crazy that this creation story, us as humans, we only focus on the thing that God said not to do. And yet, even though God knew that they were going to sin against him, he still gave them all of these wonderful things. And he started with the command let, which is to not prevent or forbid. Like God is not telling them no. And yet we only focus on the one thing he said not to do in this story. And we don't focus on the let part of the story. We don't focus on the not preventing or forbidding side of God in this creation story. We only focus on don't eat from the fruit, don't do this, almost as if it's like a testing. But God doesn't set a rule in place for Adam and Eve in order to test them. He sets the rule in place in order to protect them because he loves them so much, because he knows if they eat from this tree, they are doomed for hell as humans. Like if they eat from this tree, he knows what is their future of being sinful. And so he's not telling them don't eat from this fruit because he wants to see if they obey him. He's telling them don't eat from this fruit because I know the plan. I know the outcome of that, and I want to protect you. I want to let you enjoy this garden. I want to let you enjoy the beauty of this world that I didn't even have to place here. And yet, us as humans, ultimately, just don't listen. Just don't listen. And it just is crazy. Like, parents, if you're listening, or even children, like, if you've babysat, you would understand this kind of feeling as well. But it's like, you don't set a rule in place for a child necessarily to punish them. Like, the rule is so that you don't have to punish them, really. Like, in all honesty. Because, like I don't set a rule before, like, a kid that I babysit unless I feel the need to, like, protect them in some way. Because, like, I am responsible for this child. Like, it is my responsibility to cherish them and to keep them safe at this time. And, like, ultimately, God is our ultimate guardian. Like, he wants to keep us safe. He wants to let us enjoy these things. But without rules, we're just going to stumble and we're just going to fall. Like, if I tell a kid, hey, don't stick a knife in the toaster while it's on, it's not because I'm punishing them for something they've done. It's because I know they're going to get electrocuted if they stick a knife in the toaster while it's on. But in the child's mind, like, they're so young and naive, they don't understand. They don't get that this is out of prevention for harming yourself. They think they've done something wrong. And so I feel like that's how Adam and Eve are feeling, especially when they're being tempted. But we'll dive into that a little bit more as we go on. Still in chapter 1, another verse that I wanted to point out was verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. At the end of the day, God created us how he wants us to be created. And society tells us we need to change that. Society tells us we need to follow how we feel. Society tells us we need to change our appearance, look a certain way. Social media plays such a big role in this as well. And we idolize what the world says about us. We idolize all of these human compliments and human, like, assurances, I guess, of, for a lack of a better word, of, like, how we should look or how we should feel. But, like, God created us how we are supposed to be created. And God created us in his image, male and female. And at the end of the day, that's what the Bible preaches. And so I have to preach what the Bible preaches. And that is the core foundation of our belief as Christians is the Bible. We're filled with the breath of life from Jesus. We are made in his image to be like him. And that plays out through the rest of these chapters as well. So moving on into chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 kind of pinpoint what I targeted earlier, of that God gives us rules because he loves us. So verse 16 says, but the Lord warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Right then and there, like, God knows the outcome. Like, he knows what's going to happen, and he tells them, and he tells them the honest truth. And yet the serpent that resides, or I guess lives in this tree, tells them basically God's not telling the truth. In chapter 2, it talks about how it's not good for man to be alone, and God sees that Adam is alone, and so from Adam he made Eve. So I wrote down here, both are equal, but Eve was made from Adam, therefore man should lead. Either without each other is incomplete. However, it wouldn't have happened without God's hand at the center of it. So there's a lot to unpack here. Going on into chapter 3, after I'm kind of like jumping the gun here, but after Adam and Eve sin and eat the apple, God basically tells Adam as a punishment, or Eve as a punishment, that she's going to try to rule over her husband, but because they were sinful and human, the man is going to lead over the woman. And we in society lose sight of that. And I'm not sitting here saying, like, I promote, oh, the woman should stay home and make a sandwich and be ready for the man and just do whatever he tells her. Like, no, marriage and partnership is a partnership. Like, you should both equally do your part in the relationship, and not one person should idolize the other person in any way. But what I'm saying is, like, in decisions, in things, like, ladies, find a man that leads, because ultimately the woman was made from the man. Like, the woman would not be here without man being made first. That's just how it is. However, if the woman was not there for the man, it would not be good. And it would not be, I don't know if, like, singleness, I'm trying to, like, think out loud here, because I really don't know the answer to this, but, like, singleness is God-ordained as well. Like, singleness is good in God's eyes as well. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, God said everything was good after he created it. And yet when he saw that Adam was alone, he said it was not good. So then he made Eve, then he said it was good. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is, like, just because in the Bible it talks a lot about, like, woman serving the man, that doesn't mean that, like, man is good without the woman, you know? Like, we play a huge role in this partnership. And it is equal, but it's not a half and half equal. It's a three-way equal, which is why at the end I wrote, it wouldn't have happened without God as the center. Like, this partnership wouldn't have been created unless God put Adam to sleep, took his rib, and made Eve. And so it's a beautiful thing of, like, this is I hate saying a three-way relationship because that sounds, like, ugh, like, gross. But, like, it's a three-way relationship between man, woman, and God. And that's how it should be. And ultimately, when they lost sight of the Lord in this creation story, that's when they fell. So moving on to Genesis 3, the question that I have, it's the only question that I really wrote down in my notes, because I write down genuine questions when I just, like, don't understand things or, like, just am confused about things, because I still am confused about things. But my question that I don't have answered is, if God made everything, why did God make the serpent? Because the serpent ultimately was the one that tempted Eve to eat from the life of good and evil. So that's, like, my pondering question. And when I figure it out, I'll let you know. But be marinating on that and ask the people in your church. That's usually what I do. I just go to the people of my church and we talk about it. But yeah. That's going to be something that I talk about with my people soon. So I'll get back to you on that. Verses 1 through 4 is all about temptation, persuasion, and peer pressure. And basically there's the serpent in the tree that's like, did God really say, he's talking to Eve and he's like, did God really say you couldn't eat this fruit? Like, why is he telling you this? And just saying all of these things that are very tempting and honestly very believable, because he's like, if you eat from this, like, you're gonna have wisdom. And, like, I feel like that's, like, this world, like, if you do this, you're gonna feel right, and if you do this, you're gonna find your way here, and if you have this drug or watch this sexual video or see this, then you're gonna feel calm, or you're gonna feel relieved, or you're gonna feel satisfied, or if you go hang out with these people, you're gonna feel popular, and popularity equals satisfaction. Like, all of these lies that ultimately seem believable. And I think what Eve did wrong in this situation, because, like, saying, oh, like, if you eat from this tree, you're gonna have wisdom. Wisdom's a good trait. Like, satisfaction is a good trait. Like, these are all good traits. And ultimately, like, our intentions are good. Like Eve wants to be wise. Like, it talks about how important wisdom is in the Bible. However, if Eve, before she ate from this tree, would have asked God for the truth, then none of this would have happened, because Eve ultimately ate whatever fruit it was. I always say apple because I just associate it as an apple. But it could have been, who knows, a pineapple. I don't know. An old watermelon. Bite into a watermelon rind, for all I know, Eve. But what I'm saying here is, like, this serpent was like, Eve, this. And she was like, oh, okay. I want to be wise. So she eats the fruit. But if she would have talked to God about this verse, because God, or about this temptation, because God was so present in this garden, like, God was there and they knew God was there. And yet she forgot, or just tried to hide the fact, or ultimately just didn't ask God, like, hey, is this the truth? And if she would have just asked him, like, if she would have just asked him, then this wouldn't have happened. It's just mind-blowing to me that I can sit here and be like, oh my gosh, it's so easy for her to just ask him, and yet every day I don't. Every day I'm doing exactly, if every day I'm Eve, like, literally every day. Like, God is right there. All I have to do is ask, and yet I don't. For why? For what reason? Like, why am I not asking God? He's literally right next to me. He's living inside of me as the Holy Spirit. Like, and yet I forget. I get distracted. I don't want to face the answer that my gut is telling me probably is the answer I'm going to receive. Whatever your reason is for not asking God, like, why? Because if it's the truth from him, ultimately it's going to result in what is right for your life, what is right for the plan, in that protection. Because we can't forget, like, God is a let God. Like, he wants to allow these things. God doesn't want to say no. But when we go against the restriction, that's the only thing that's highlighted. Like, even if you think about, like, a testimony, like, which a testimony is how you met Jesus, how you accepted Jesus into your life. But I feel like so often we focus so much on, like, our before part of our testimony with Christ, that we almost forget that, like, the part of the testimony that's important is your life with Christ. And yet, like, I've fallen victim of this, but, like, I focus so much on, like, oh, I had an eating disorder. Oh, I was really sad. Oh, like, I hated God. But then I found God and now I'm happy. But it's almost like, why am I focusing so much on, like, the before? Why am I focusing so much on the part where I was disobeying God in order to, like, have sympathy for myself, or to make the story seem better, or to make the story seem more relatable? Like, my testimony is not for me. My testimony is not to feel strong in myself. My testimony is not even to inspire others with my story necessarily. The point of a testimony is to tell people how good Jesus is. The point of a testimony, the point of your story, is to bring glory to Jesus. And I realized this when I was at camp, and I was like, I want to go out and tell everybody in the field that I'm in about Jesus. But, like, the musical theater world is not really a Christian-driven world. So, like, people are going to hate me. And then the people who I was talking to were like, okay, so? And I was like, huh. Because telling Jesus, the story of Jesus, is not for the gain of myself. Like, do nothing out of selfish ambition, selfish gain. Like, I'm telling people about Jesus because I want to bring glory to the kingdom. But I can't sit here and talk on a podcast about Jesus, or tell people about Jesus, with the motivation of just trying to feel better within myself. Like, you can't, that's not how it works. That's just not how it is. And it's so easy to fall into that trap, because I found myself in that trap of, oh, I'm going to do a podcast and tell people about Jesus and, you know, it's really hard to keep your mind focused on this is for God, this is for God, this is for God, because just like Eve, it's like we want to do things for ourselves. Like we want to be wise for ourselves that we forget to ask God if the wisdom that we want to receive is truly true wisdom. Yeah, it's just a lot. It's just a lot. And then even right after Eve sins, in verse 21, it says, "And the Lord made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife." So ultimately, Adam and Eve try to run from God and hide the sin, but God sees everything. God knows all. And so Adam and Eve this whole time have been naked but unashamed. And then the minute that they sin and they know that God has seen them, they're ashamed that they're naked. And so God, you know, tells them, like, this is what's happened because of what you've done. And immediately after that, he protects them with clothing and he creates a protection and a security for them because he's still a let God. He still wants to protect. He doesn't want to prevent them from living a life. I wrote, "Although we deserve worse, God still protects, loves, and cares for us right when we sin." It's just, it's mind boggling. And even at the end of it, like, God wants us. He wants us. Verse 22, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever.' So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden and sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim, I don't know what that is, to the east of the Garden of Eden. And then he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." God gives us a choice to choose him. Like, even after they sinned, he was like, what if this happens? What if we do this? How can I still live with my children? How can I still be with my creations, even though their choices ultimately have made them doomed for hell? And that's why Christians say, like, if we don't accept Christ, we're going to hell because of this choice, this here choice. And yet God so graciously is like, "I want to live with my children. I want to let them enjoy eternity with me forever." But he gives us the choice to do it because he loves us so much. So the last thing I want to point out about this, and it's what I just read, in chapter 22, "Then the Lord God said, 'Look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil.'" I think that it's crazy how this whole story can happen, and yet it ties right back to the beginning of creation, because it says, "Look, the human beings have become like us." And in the very beginning, in the first chapter, it says that, verse 26, chapter 1, "Let us make human beings to be like us." And it's almost as if it's like foreshadowing that this would happen, because God knows both good and evil, right? Like, that's why he told Adam and Eve, "Don't eat from this tree because you will go to hell." And yet it's like, "Let us create human beings to be like us." And then in this verse, verse 22, "Look, the humans have become like us." God knows. If this doesn't show that God knows the entire plan he has for you, that he knows you'll sin, that he knows you'll fall short, I don't know what will. And I'm going to rest in the fact that my God has my entire life planned out, because he proves it time and time again throughout the Bible. You just have to, like, dig into it, and you just have to look at it. And it's like we rest on these old stories of knowing these things and they become comfortable. But when you really dig into this, it, like, can relight a fire and, like, just bring back so much passion for, or even like scaredness, fear of the Lord, or just kind of like a genuine curiosity, whatever the feeling that this brings back for you, like, it's speaking to you in some way. And what this story is telling me, and hopefully some other people, is like, God knows my entire plan, and he knows I'm going to sin, and yet he's going to protect me through it all. But like, I've got to choose that in order to be with him. And he's so gracious, and he shows how gracious he is after we are so sinful and so sinful. And he sets these boundaries for us to protect us and to help us. And yet we just ignore it. We just ignore it. And we listen to the voices of this world that tell us we're going to get this temporary satisfaction, or we're going to get this temporary whatever, temporary fill in the blank. The fact is that it's temporary, and that ultimately the rest of our life is our choice. God gives us that choice. And so I urge you, if you have not given up your life for Jesus Christ, please do it now. No, it's a very, very personal choice. However, like, your relationship with Jesus should not be personal. And I say that in a beautiful way, that like, don't hide your relationship. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out and like start a podcast and tell everybody, but like, that's why we get baptized, to like, declare before everyone, like, it's a public declaration that you are saved by the King, by the Father. Like, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is saying, therefore go, like, go and make disciples of many nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Like, tell people about Jesus. Like, you know him. Grow alongside him, but know that he's propelling you, telling you to go tell people about him, and not for selfish gain, but for the gain of the kingdom. And gain of the kingdom ultimately starts from the creation story, because God created this world, but this world is evil and we're evil, and yet he's given us that choice to choose that tree of life, to live with him forever. And it's beautiful, and we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it at all, and yet he's given us that choice. And we don't deserve his grace, and yet he protects us with clothing, and he makes it for us, and he designs a path for us, and he specifically has designed us to each do different things, and we're made in his image, because we are each destined to do different things. I encourage you to read these three chapters and go through it and find new things that I didn't touch on, because there are so many things that you can get from this. And don't ever think that you have to have the right interpretation or the right answer to something in the Bible. I mean, at the end of the day, the Bible speaks facts, but these facts can be figured out and dug into to speak differently to different people. So I encourage you to do that and not think like, oh, I have to know this much in order to tell people about Jesus, or I have to know this much in order to like share a message. Like, I don't know as much as you do, and you don't know as much as I do. We all just know different things. Like, I don't know, and we're never gonna know enough. Like, I know probably just as much as the person listening, if not less. I don't know, but I'm doing what I can in the moment that I can. And like, who knows? I may listen back to this a year from now and be like, what was I saying? But at the end of the day, it's not for my gain, it's for the Lord. And so if I'm just fixing my eyes on Jesus and doing what I can for Jesus, it doesn't matter my personal opinion or my personal feeling. Like, the Bible gives us our opinions. Like, we're lucky enough, we don't have to choose how we feel about certain topics. The Bible tells us how Christians should feel. The Bible tells us how we should feel. Like, we have our map and our guide to life handed to us in the Bible. So if we follow that, then like, even if I'm sitting here, I'm gonna grow so much more in a year, but I'm not stopping myself or hindering myself or waiting for that quote unquote right time to share the gospel. There's never gonna be a time where I reach a goal to where I'm able to do enough. We're never gonna be able to do enough, because Jesus sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, like, for the entire world. Like, there's never going to be anything that amounts to that. So we can rest in the fact almost that we're never going to be able to do enough. Like, we can rest in the fact that we are human and we suffer, and know that Jesus is going to suffer with us and he's going to protect us through it. So I encourage you to carry that message with you and just to tell people how amazing our God is. And you can start with this story. It's a great place to start discipling and telling people. And don't think you're not qualified to tell people about Jesus, because you are. He's destined you for greatness, which is something that I learned from my church, Crossland Community. Shout out. Love you. Anyways, that was a lot, but it needed to be shared, and I hope that my words touched someone, because ultimately they're not my words, they're Jesus's words, and they were just spoken out of my mouth hole. Anyways, I gotta go pick Peter up from the airplane that he is probably flying on in like 30 minutes, and then I'm gonna land. So I love you all so much. Thank you so much for listening. Bernard loves you. I love you. Jesus loves you. And that's life.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.